This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Songs with. Songs with.
Ones we can depend on.
Songs with.
How many of us have them?
Songs with.
Before we go any further.
Songs with.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to episode 31 of Songs with Friends, here on the Place to Be Nation pop feed. My name is Steve Williams, and joining me as always is Kelly. Kelly, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am good, as the AC is running, keeping things at a steady 70 degrees.
Kevin does not approve of that.
Kevin DeFranco thinks I am ruining the Earth's core, and you know, sacrifices had to be made for the sake of comfort sometimes.
Yeah, there's been a lot of like Twitter shenanigans about temperature in homes, so
Twitter has, fascinating. Twitter has been a full-on dumpster fire lately. I mean, some say it's like that all the time. But every so often, the activity peaks. And lately, it's been, at least among people I follow, wanting pretty women to do torturous things to them.
Yes, a lot. I see that a lot.
I don't know why they all went Charlie Caruso to step on their noses or whatnot, but that's a real thing lately. Let's see, what else? Fast food takes, as evidenced by my recent trip to the Burger King to try the tacos.
Now, have you had a Jack in the Box taco?
No, I only went to Jack in the Box because there was one by my hotel in Dallas when I went to WrestleMania.
Okay, so I didn't know if that Jack in the Box was like even on the East Coast at all type or in yours. Okay, so I was curious. It couldn't match up at all, but I was just curious.
No, I've seen that comparison made today. Apparently those tacos are 50 cents each and the Burger King tacos are a dollar. So the Jack in the Box wins by default.
Yeah, two for a dollar. You pull up to Jack in the Box, you can get, like, after, you know, drunken night of fun with your friends. This is, like, a 20-some memory, and we would just be like, give us all the tacos. Like, all the tacos we can get for whatever, $10. And we're just, like, sitting there munching on those tacos in the parking lot, so.
That is also good what stuff. I did after WrestleMania in Dallas. Before I stopped in my room, I stopped at Jack in the Box and filled up and then went to bed. It was quite glorious.
Yes.
All right, gang, so what we do here on Songs with Friends is we review song lyrics, we talk about backstories, we make shit up, we look up real facts, just kind of choosing our own adventure here. Each week, we each pick a song, and this week I am going first with the song from the 1998 album, Flesh of My Flesh, Blood of My Blood. This is Slipping by DMX. Now, Kelly, were you familiar with the song at all?
No. When you said it, I wasn't sure, and then I heard it, and I definitely was not. So, but what year did you say this was? 98?
Yes.
I could believe that. I never really was big into DMX, honestly, but I was, like, full on, like, probably rock music at this time in my life. So, I had never heard it. This was a first.
Now, I used to be really into DMX. Like, too much into DMX. For a 16, 17-year-old white kid from Louisville, Kentucky. Like, I found his energy very relatable. Not necessarily the stuff he talked about, but just something about him was very charismatic to me. To the point where I bought his book later, which has an all-time terrible, terrible title. His name is Earl. It gets his shoot name, as the kids say. Earl Simmons.
Oh my gosh.
But
I didn't know that.
But he made it some wacky, like, acronym. So it couldn't just be Earl. It was E-A-R-L. Ever, always, real life, which just is nonsensical and horseshit.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like I only know songs like his big, popular, you know, like, I can't think, like, X Gonna Give It To You, like that kind of thing, you know, but I don't. Isn't that one of his songs?
It is, but that was a bit later.
Oh, okay. That's probably the only one I could think of off the top of my head, which is pretty bad.
Yes, on the road to the Scenic City Invitational, I'm going to set up a DMX sampler platter.
Okay. For around 1998, that was his peak of
98, 99, spilling into 2000. Once you hit 2001, it starts to fall apart.
Mm.
All right.
So I can relate to that.
Let's jump into this, kids. He starts with just repeatedly, I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up. I'm slipping, I'm falling, I can't get up. I'm slipping, I'm falling, I gots to get up, get back on my feet so I could tear shit up. So this is just very clearly a guy in a some kind of backslide in his life, kind of trying to motivate himself to climb up out of this despair and get back to his former form so he could, in fact, tear shit up.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to say there, Kelly?
No, you said that perfectly.
All right.
I didn't even know if you were going to read that part.
I was. And I did.
I was a little surprised. I know.
All right. I've been through mad different faces like mazes to find my way, and now I know that happy days are not far away. If I'm strong enough, I'll live long enough to see my kids doing something more constructive with their time than bids. All right. So he's already at this point saying, I've already been through a lot of puzzling situations. But I'm seeing the light at the end of the tunnel, and if I can live through this, you know, I can help build a better future for my kids and my family. Now, are you familiar with this terminology of bids?
No, I wasn't sure what that was, actually.
That, if I'm not mistaken.
Time? Jail time?
Yes, look at you go.
It came to me after. We're not all innocent over in my family. No, I'm just kidding.
Yes, this is the re-education of Kelly Jean here.
Well, and in the video, you know, it does, I mean, I don't know if it's a weird video, but it definitely shows that type of like, I mean, you have like overdosing and jail going on and all kinds of stuff. So anyways.
Yes. Let's talk about the acting in that overdose scene. My God, like this guy was like a legit addict who probably overdosed a time or two. You would never know it from seeing that video. Terrible, terrible acting. Oh, it was atrocious to the point where he got cast in a feature film that same year called Belly. And
oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
I had tweeted that like Hype Williams should have never been allowed to make another movie after seeing DMX in Slippin' and then casting him in Belly.
Like, yeah.
Like, come on, he should have been disqualified instantly.
Yeah, that's why a lot of singers, you don't see them. A lot of artists, they're just singing in their video. They let someone else do the acting. They're like, I'm not good at this.
Now, to be fair, DMX was the best part of Belly. But yeah, this was rough. So he says, I know because I've been there. Wait a minute. I know because I've been there. Now I'm going to sit back and look at what it took for me to get there. First came the bullshit, the drama with my mama. She got on some fly shit, so I split. I am having a hard time here with this rhythm. It said that I'm going to be that seed that doesn't need much to succeed. So he's having trouble at home, very young. He's looking at it still from the selfish narcissistic. Like, he's not seeing that he's fucking up. He's like, oh, my mom's on her bullshit. She's kicking me out. Like, never mind that I'm doing drugs or selling drugs or whatever. Like, let's not focus on that. We're focusing on my mom's putting me out. Like, what the fuck am I going to do?
Yes.
Like, have you dealt with people like this before, Kelly, who just cannot see things from anyone else's perspective but theirs, no matter how badly they may be fucking up?
Absolutely. I think everybody has. But I don't even want to talk about him, but I have a brother like this. And sometimes he would be like, I feel like he thought my parents' house was his house. I might have even said this on the show before. And it blew my mind because it was like, he would be like in a grown age, like 20 some, and they'd let him come back home. And he would be like, get out of my house kind of thing. And my dad's like, oh no, you know, you can get, you know what I mean? But some people are just very like, I don't know what the word is, selfish as hell. It's like, they do not even see what they're doing. And then if they think that like their parents' home is like their home forever, and that's just not right. You know, it's like.
All right. So he says, strapped with mad greed and a heart that doesn't bleed. I'm ready for the world, or at least I thought I was. Bagging redacted when I caught a buzz, not thinking about how short I was. Now, this is timely as we record. Because through the last couple of days, this bagel guy has been making the rounds.
Holy moly.
This,
they had another video of him I saw. But anyways, go ahead.
This Rudy Rudovich-looking motherfucker. Starting fights with women at the bagel shop. And apparently he's like a YouTuber. Like, this is what he does. He goes to places and complains about how short he is. And this is the one time when he caught somebody who was not going to put up with this little man shit and took him down.
Oh, so He really, okay, so I didn't know this. So he's really just fucking around.
Yeah, there's other videos of him like at a convenience store.
I saw that one and the guys were just staring at him like, what the fuck? I didn't watch the whole thing, yeah. But they didn't get any, he didn't get a rise out of them. You know what I mean? I think they were just like, this dude's crazy. And just kind of, he was, you know, saying stuff to him. Okay.
Now, and watching this bagel one, as soon as he bumped into that first guy that had his arms crossed and said, you want to step outside? Like he should have been fucking dealt with right then.
Yeah, that guy, though, was just like, I'm not here for this. I'm going to get my bagel.
I would have grabbed his little ass by the back of his neck and walked him outside like a child.
I give that guy a lot of credit, though, because that takes, like, a lot of restraint to have someone come at you like that and just be like, I don't got time for your bullshit today. Like, that's crazy.
Either that or he was literally scared of Lord Farquaad over there up in his mix.
Well, in today's age, I mean, I think about this, like, everyone's standing around recording, you know what I mean? You don't want to have a video that's like, if that guy never, when he touched that guy, but the other guy that looked like he had a fight with, I don't think he touched that guy first.
He didn't, but he did not strike him. He grabbed him and pinned him down to control him.
It was like a citizen's arrest kind of situation. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. As soon as he touched the first guy, I mean, that was assault and battery. Like that, that first guy could have pretty much beat his ass and been free and clear as long as he gave him a path to exit.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a fun little sidebar there. But that's a real thing, especially like growing up. You see, the little guys will be the ones with the chips on their shoulder if they think they can handle themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's often that the smallest one in the crew is the one starting the shit.
Yeah. It's so crazy. Very true, though.
All right, man, I lost my place talking about the bagel fella in concert with this DMX lyric from 20 years ago.
Well, it was so crazy, that video. I was like, it makes more sense now a little bit to me that he's just one of those people trying to go around. Not that it's okay, but it just seemed weird. Like, I thought it was just like an isolated deal. And I'm like, dude, this guy's over here crying about girls on dating sites. And it's like, what is going on? Telling him he's too short.
Well, he is too short. Fuck that guy.
I thought it was funny because they were saying how to be on his face, like you couldn't see anybody else in the video because the height, like that's how short he was. I was like, oh gosh.
That's fantastic. Now, for the record, I have nothing against short people, short men. You know, live your life, prosper. Don't be a fucking asshole about it. You know, we all have shortcomings. There's no reason to blame everyone else. Sometimes you just get dealt a shitty hand. You know, make the best of it.
Yeah.
Maybe if you weren't also a dickhead, you know, you'd do better on these dating sites.
Yeah, if you weren't a dickhead and you were funny, you would go far. You'll be fine.
My goodness. I mean, look at Cat Williams and Kevin Hart. Like, Kevin Hart's 5 foot nothing. He's doing all right for himself.
Yes. Good example.
All right, going too fast, it wouldn't last, but yo, I couldn't tell. Group homes and institutions prepared my ass for jail.
Now, oh my.
Even back then, like, this was before, you know, 1998, I would have been 16. This was before I got employment in kind of the social services field and working with mental health patients and whatnot. But yeah, I definitely grew up seeing this. Back then, like, that line struck with me of, man, like, these systems are trying to do their best. They have good intentions. But at their core, that's kind of what they do, is you get used to a very structured environment. And then even though they have transition programs to put you out into the wild, so to speak, there is nothing that can fully prepare you for being out on your own after years upon years of someone telling you when to do everything in life.
Yeah. Yep.
I heard an interview recently with the professional wrestler known as MVP, who had done significant time as a youth for a cruise ship robbery. But he talked about just things you don't even think about when you're out in the wild. Like he said, when you're in prison, the only people that have keys are corrections officers. You know, the inmates don't have keys. So when you hear keys, you kind of know just to straighten your act up a little bit. Someone's coming. And then when you're out there the first day on your own and everybody in the world has keys, and it's just the overstimulation that hits your ears leads to high anxiety and has you on edge. It's something you wouldn't even think about.
No, that's fascinating to me, actually. Wow. Because I always worry about that. We've talked about that. People being incarcerated and then when they're by themselves, Like, that whole concept to me, for like, I'm like, how long are they in isolation? They don't get to talk to anybody. Like, I feel like that would make you go crazy, even if you weren't. Like, I don't know. I feel like it would make you feel like you're losing your mind sitting there by yourself with no, like, sound or someone to talk to. That'd be horrible.
Yeah, there's a great bit in Don't Be a Menace where the guy just got out of prison and he's at the cookout. He's like cutting his chicken by shanking it. And yes. They're playing cards. He's trying to place bets with cigarettes.
That's amazing. Oh, that's funny.
Like, what are you doing, man?
What is happening?
They're all trying to check out the hot girl and he pulls out a mirror to look behind him.
Oh, shit.
All right, so they're moving on here. They put me in a situation forcing me to be a man when I was just learning to stand without a helping hand. And then we go into the internal monologue. You know, damn, was it my fault? Something I did to make a father leave his first kid at 7 doing my first bid. Now, with broken homes, you hear that a lot, especially when the dad's just not around. Oftentimes the dad would just up and leave, and people just don't know their dads. And, yeah. You know, the child doesn't know any better. It can hurt the self-esteem, obviously. You know, thinking, was I a bad kid? Am I the reason I don't have a dad? Like, that's heartbreaking. Yeah. That's heartbreaking to think about.
So he's saying, like, his dad was in jail, though. That's why he wasn't around.
I don't know that.
That's kind of weird the way that's worded.
He said to make a father leave his first kid. And then DMX then says at 7 in jail. I was in juvie doing my first
thing. Oh, I got you. Okay. That's crazy.
No, I don't think he was in jail for 7 years, age 7 to 14. I think this is kind of a dramatic license, so to speak.
Yes, yes.
It says, back on the scene at 14 with a scheme to get more cream than I'd ever seen in a dream. And by all means, I would be living high off the hog, and I never gave a fuck about much but my dog. That's the only motherfucker that I offered my last, just another redacted, headed nowhere fast. So he's dreaming big, so he's going to be doing all this shit to make all this money that, you know, nobody's ever seen before. But at the same time, he acknowledges, like, the shit he's doing is going nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, he can't keep his ass out of institutions or group homes and just fucking up his future. But he doesn't know any other way.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is sad. It's weird. I always think about this, like, some parents that grow up, they don't want better for their kids, I guess. I don't know how to explain it, or they don't know the mindset. Like, I always think my whole goal in life is for my daughter to grow up and, like, have better than I did. And I think I had pretty good, you know what I mean? But I want her to have better than that. But some people just want their kids, they teach them the life they live, even if it's fucked up, but they don't know any better either, you know? So it's just kind of, it's a sad cycle.
Yeah, there's a great interview I saw years ago. I think it may have been Bernie Mac, but I don't know that for sure. Somebody asked him about mentoring. I mean, you do see a lot of that, particularly, you know, just being, you know, honest here with black youths. You see a lot of these programs intended to bring successful black men in to speak to black youths. And somebody questioned him about it. And he's like, well, you know, a lot of these kids just don't have dads. And frankly, you have to see a man to be a man. You know, it's seeing a good example and seeing that it doesn't have to be shit out here. You know, I did it. You can do it too. Let's talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And people will be, you know, kind of up in arms about shit like that. I'm like, no, that's a crucial program. You know, if you have these kind of resources, by all means, take advantage of them. You know, don't be up in arms about shit. Don't be an asshole about it. Like,
yeah,
let everyone have opportunity.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so now we've gone through DMX's middle school years.
This is pretty scary because I'm thinking middle school years.
Yo, middle school is when I started to realize some of these kids are fucking monsters in here.
Well, yeah, and I was thinking I wasn't a monster because my dad would have whooped my ass. That's probably
what. Well, think about middle school, like that maturity level, and then with the boys, you got the testosterone kicking in.
Yeah.
And especially somebody who, you know, all we knew when we were kids was some of these kids are assholes. Like,
yeah.
We didn't know what was going on at home. We didn't know that, you know, maybe these kids are living on their own, or, you know, their dad checked out and that's just, they don't know how to deal with their emotions. So that's why they're angry all the fucking time.
Yeah.
And on top of that, now they got six packs and pecs and shit.
Well, yeah, and then there's, like, I didn't know when I was in school about, like, learning, like, ADHD. You know what I mean? Like, that kind of stuff wasn't common either. So it was just like, that kid's a jackass, but maybe he actually needed medication or something. You know what I mean? But I don't really know people that were getting probably mental health help or any of that kind of stuff. So it was just like a very weird. Yeah, but middle school is a, I think it's a crazy time for anybody, but I can't imagine for a kid who's going through a lot at home to also be going through middle school. You know what I mean? Like, that's just too much.
Yeah, as we talked about before on this show, I was taken off of the obvious you're going to be successful track that existed in my middle school. And in seventh grade, they put me as the outlier, don't make it so obvious kid, and put me like with the rough kids. And holy shit, like I was right in the mix of all this. Like, I distinctly remember a kid. I had a 16-year-old in my seventh grade class.
Oh my god! Shut the
what? 16. This is a fucking man with a beard.
That is a man. Holy shit.
He's in there like trying to fuck 13-year-olds. Man, just get me out of here, please.
Yes, I do not want to be here. Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, he had his whole head like buzzed except for a gnarly rat tail.
Oh, yeah, one of those.
Yeah.
One of those. Yeah, we didn't really have like, because I kind of grew up in like a, I don't know, I guess like a middle class area or whatever, but we didn't really have, I don't remember like junior high being very rough. Like, there were some kids who thought they were hardcore, whatever it was, like stoners or gangsters, but like none of us were. We all lived in like the same, you know, like we all kind of came from the same like neighborhood, so where the class wealth wasn't that different, you know, at least when I was in middle school. Now it got different in high school, but it was, yeah, it was interesting times.
All right, that ain't the half. Shit gets worse as I got older. Actions become bolder, heart get colder. Chip on my shoulder that I dared to redacted a touch. Didn't need a click because I scared redacted that much. So he's just by himself out there, just starting fights. Just being a little motherfucker. Just to show that he can do it.
I kind of have some respect for that. It's like, I don't fucking need nobody. That's pretty amazing.
And if you want to impress Kelly by picking a fight with nobody, come to the Speedway Outlaw Mud Show in Chattanooga, Tennessee, the Saturday of SCI.
You're ridiculous.
Bring your own stupid ass hat, and I will put you in the fucking battle royal.
Oh, that's amazing.
All right. One deep with the pit, starting shit for kicks. I don't understand that. Catching Vicks, throwing bricks, getting by being slick.
I don't understand that either. I'm like, what?
Is it vapor rub? Catching vapors. I know. Catching that's vapors, that is it.
Ooh. Okay.
I should have picked up genius for this one, but I didn't. So I apologize for my lack of preparation here, guys. Used to get high just to get by. Used to have to puff my L in the morning before I got fly. So he's just getting high all the time now, too, on top of it.
What's L? Puff my L.
It is a marijuana reference, ma'am. A drug reference.
It is?
Yes.
Well, I thought maybe it was a different drug. I'd never heard it called that before.
You clearly weren't deep in the late 90s hip-hop.
No. Obviously, we've covered this before. I've never heard that ever. That's interesting. Well, probably in a song then, I guess, and not realizing it, but yeah. Definitely not by a person that I associated with.
Now we're getting into just full-on substance abuse mayhem. Ate something, a couple of 40s maybe hate something. I did some coke, now I'm ready to take something.
Like, see?
He's just off the fucking rails now, boy.
I did coke, and now I'm ready for what's next, crack.
My goodness. Didn't 3 years later, showing signs of stress, didn't keep my hair cut or give a fuck how I dressed. Possessed by the darker side, living the cruddy life. Shit like this kept redacted with a bloody knife. It's nice out here fucking stabbing people.
Oh my
God. Looking like a fucking homeless guy out here just doing coke and shanking people.
Whatever he can get his hands on.
This is, in fact, slipping, guys. If you find yourself not getting a haircut and stabbing people, please just stay in the house, all right?
Yeah. Commit yourself in or something.
Says, I want to make records, but I'm fucking it up. I'm slipping. I'm falling. I can't get up. Now, I brought up that book earlier because he actually was like in and out of, I don't know about prisons, but certainly jails. I haven't read this book in probably 15 years during his late adolescence into his 20s for sure, to the point where he claims that he taught another inmate the certain style of rapping, and then that guy, when he got out, like he heard the DMX style on the radio. That guy had got out and did it before X could.
Oh. But did the guy make it far or anything?
Do
we know who it is?
He'd said it in the book, and I think he had a following for a minute, but it's been so long now that he's faded out. But yeah, like he wants to make music. He knows like that's how he's gonna get over, but like he can't keep his fucking finger out of the cookie jar, so to speak. And he can't stop fucking himself up here.
Yeah.
So Kelly, you called it here. Wasn't long before I hit rock bottom. Redacted's talking shit like, damn, look how that rock got him. So yeah, now he's doing smoking crack. Just fuck it.
I'm just saying. I feel bad because sometimes you joke about that, like people smoking crack, but then it's like, oh my God, people really do it. Like, never mind.
Open like a window, no more endo. Look at the video, say to myself, that could have been your ass on the TV. Believe me, it could be done. So now he's high on crack, watching TV, as one does.
Yes.
And he's seeing probably that other guy that was in prison rapping.
Oh, man.
He's like, motherfucker, that could have been me. Like, that should be me.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just as good as that guy. Why am I not on the video?
You can't share your dreams with people or your ideas. They'll take them.
It's true. As anyone who listens to Talk and Pop will take my my background check podcast show idea. Oh, before we launched this, I only told my closest friends about this idea. And I'm like, one of these motherfuckers is going to do it. I just know they are.
Took us a little bit to get off the ground, so they had some time.
Yes. So then he says, something's got to give, got to change because I got a son. I got to do the right thing for Shorty. That means no more getting high, drinking 40s. Sorry, that's the motivation. I have a kid now. I got to get my shit together, quit smoking rocks and drinking Old English.
Oh, which I was just talking about. One of my employees was talking to me about this today, and I was like, it's really shitty to put on your kid, but I think a lot of times kids are something that keep people from making better decisions and can get you through hard times. You know what I mean? But some people don't. But hopefully this is how this story is going to change. I don't know.
I mean, you like to think DMX has a happy ending, but he has certainly fallen off the wagon several times since 1998.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is kind of the abridged version of where we were at this point. So I get back looking tight, slick again. Fake redacted to jump back on my dick again. My goodness. Nothing but love for those who know how I feel, and much respect to all my redacteds. Kept it real. Kept a redacted strong. I'm going to have to say this like 8 times.
Yes.
Kept a redacted from doing wrong. Redacteds know who they is, and this is your fucking song. Into my boo, who stuck with the redacted through. All the bullshit, you'll get yours because it's due. So he's pretty much saying that, all right, thanks to everybody. Now I'm going to get my shit together now. Thank you for those who stuck with me. Into my lady, thank you too. Like, you're going to get paid with me. Like, thanks for hanging out while I was smoking crack and watching BET all day.
The ride or die mentality.
Yes. Ladies, if your man is smoking crack, leave. There's no better way to say it. Just get the fuck out. Do not wait to fix that guy. He is unfixable.
Yeah. Go watch his season 1 of Love After Lockup or whatever. You'll be like, oh no.
Yeah, you will break before he is fixed.
Yes, unfortunately.
All right, Kelly, any closing thoughts from DMX slipping here?
What was the last thing I have read? I got to get this, my baby heart. No, I think I'm good.
Now, at the end here, this is kind of the abridged version of, like, the rags to riches part of it. To let him tell it, his story was that he was about to be, like, have an audition. And got into, once again, a really bad fight due to him being on crack and shit. And, like, actually got his, he got robbed and got his jaw broken. And he had to do his audition, like, with his jaw wired shut.
for them, really?
Yes, to the point where he like was like splitting wires trying to rap so hard and bleeding from the mouth afterwards. But like,
holy shit!
Yeah, like it was the passion that got him signed, and then thankfully things started looking up for him not long after that.
Oh my gosh, that's horrible. That's horrible.
It sounds like, by all means, like he did well for at least a few years. And then, next thing you know, he's being arrested in airports for impersonating FBI officers and stealing cars. Just one shit show after another.
What's he up to today? Are you aware?
No, I haven't heard the name DMX in quite some time. He's alive, I can tell you that. Yeah, but I don't know if he's making music or touring like the small towns or anything like that.
Oh, so I Googled him, and the first thing that comes up one day ago, now it's on TMZ, says police sketch looks too much like him to be a coincidence. Someone has sketched him out for some type of crime. Oh, well, hopefully that's just a fake.
So DMX, possibly still slipping.
We want to see better for him. I want to see better for everybody.
Earl, if you're out there listening, I am rooting for you, man.
I can't. The Earl is killing me, though. I don't know why. It's just not what I would expected his name to be.
Make him jump back on your dick again, Earl. I believe in you.
Steve.
And that seems like a good a time as any to segue to the break. Let's pitch to JT and Chad, and we'll come back and talk about some of the other shows and then get into our second song here on Songs with Friends.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to be Nations, JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our previous podcasts over the past 8 years as well, by subscribing to our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available at PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using www.placetobenation.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping. And be sure to join us at our forum at bigelow34.proboards.com for all sorts of wrestling, sports, and pop culture discussion each and every day, where you can make your voice heard. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceToBenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
And welcome back to Songs of Friends. Now, if you're listening to us, you probably found us on the Place to Be Nation pop feed. And while you're here, I encourage you to open up your little podcast app, whatever it may be, and check out some of the other fantastic shows on the pop feed, including, but not limited to, The Sarcastic Four continued their look at 1971 with the second of their three-part episode of Marvel Age. The Hard Traveling Fanboys continue Spider-Man Month with their review of the latest Marvel Universe film, Spider-Man Far From Home. Now, I've heard great things about that movie. I need to check it out. Have you seen any of these newer Spider-Man movies?
I have, but probably not the last, like, what, two of them maybe? I don't know. There's so many of them.
There are. There's no less than 115 movies in this Marvel universe.
It is a lot.
Right. DC4U continues its celebration of Superman with a look at the classic Alan Moore, Kurt Swan story, Whatever Happened to the Man of Tomorrow? Geek and Sassy welcome Tim Capel. Hey, how about that? To recap season 2 and preview season 3 of Stranger Things.
Ooh, I wonder if it's safe for Zoe to listen to it. Probably not.
No problem. With Tim, Miranda, and Ginny, there's probably some hot threesome action going on there. And then join Glenn and Scott as they discuss, debate the Democratic hopefuls for the upcoming presidential election in a new spectacular. Now, Glenn knows his shit. So that is probably a good listen. I tend to steer away from political content, but I may have to listen to that and check back with you.
I'm for sure going to check that out.
On a new episode of NBA Team, Adam Murray and Andrew Reich are here to reflect on what has been quite the last week in NBA land. Now, Adam and Andrew, if you're listening to this, what I like about your commitment to this NBA team podcast is that your season truly never ends.
It's amazing.
I'm looking forward to summer league breakdowns. I want high school prospects. Give me all that shit. And the greatest song of the 80s tournament continues. There will be 6 polls a day posted for round 1. You can get in on the action on Facebook by searching PTBN's Greatest Song of the 80s Tournament and liking the page. Be sure to weigh in. Also, those polls are being put up on Twitter, at JT's Twitter, at place number 2B Nation. Only vote in the Facebook or the Twitter in the state, I can't think of the word I'm looking for here. In the name of competition, in the spirit of competition, Kelly, you damn double dipper, you.
I honestly still to this day does not make sense to me, but I will. I hear you on this.
She's out. And over on the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, Tim, Ginny, and Greg, another hot threesome there, are back with a brand new Talking WCW as they look at War Games, the match beyond. Now, War Games is my shit. I have this podcast downloaded. I have not listened to it yet due to other podcast commitments keeping me tied up recently.
Oh, my gosh.
But,
yes.
But War Games 92 in particular is probably my favorite WCW match, so I will be listening to this for sure. JT and Chad open up the 1996 pay-per-view year with a look at the Royal Rumble on the latest Wrestling Warzone. Oh, that was a good listen. I did listen to that. PTB and staff members Jennifer Smith, Drew Wardlaw, and Matt Souza. That's right, the debut of the Sous. Gather to break down the 1986 Crockett Cup. In the 10th episode of Row 1, Seat 1, Ben welcomes documentary filmmaker and wrestling superfan John Filipovich to the podcast. Now, guys, even if you're not into wrestling, I encourage everyone to listen to that show. Johnny P was an amazing guest, and him and Ben just have kind of a fascinating conversation and a look into kind of what it means to be a superfan. Like, I think most fandoms could relate to some of the stuff they talk about here. And on episode 129 of Main Event, Scott, Nate, and Steve preview All Elite Wrestling's Fighter Fest, ROH's Best in the World, and recap classic TNA from 2002. On PlaceToBeNation.com, PTBN's tribute to 1994 is off and running, with pieces on the Best Picture nominees for the 66th Academy Awards, the 94 World Cup, and the miniseries The Stand. Also, Excellent Network Adventure Team is back with a look at ECW One Night Stand 2006. Which is the second one-night stand, and if you want to be really in-depth into these kind of things and anal, that should have been like the second night stand, or not one-night stand, too. You don't have multiple one-night stands, damn it.
That it's turning into something more.
It is. It's the start of a blooming relationship. Check out our social media pages and message board over at bigelow34.proboards.com for information on joining the GWWE pay-per-view and TV match ever project. Get in on the conversation today and start researching your list. Now, Kelly, we've touched base on this 80s tournament. Let's take a look at some of the upcoming matchups and kind of just give a quick hit. Let's each pick a winner on the air. Let's prognosticate, if you will.
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to pull up the Africa region, which is the next. Take On Me by AHA versus Lady in Red. Who do you got?
Take On Me.
Take On Me, easily. I agree with you there. That may be my favorite 80s song.
It's amazing.
Now, the official song of Louisville, Kentucky, Danger Zone by Kenny Loggins versus The Touch by Stan Bush.
Danger Zone.
I'm going with The Touch. I've heard Danger Zone prior to every fireworks show in Louisville going back to like 1990. So I never want to hear that song again.
I just still, because I haven't heard it as much as you, when I hear that song, it really does make me feel like fired up.
Like a fucking montage starts playing.
Fucking ready to go.
Put sunglasses on and your toes are tapping.
Yes.
All right. What a Feeling by Irene Cara and I Heard a Rumor from Bananarama. Who do you have?
What a Feeling.
I don't think I know either one of these songs.
Oh my gosh. Flashdance?
Oh, fuck. I never watched Flashdance.
Oh, okay. That's fair.
I Feel For You by Chaka Khan versus Our House by Madness. Who do you have?
Our House.
So do I. I like I Feel For You, but I think Our House is just iconic.
Yes.
right. Tarzan Boy from Baltimore and White Wedding, Billy Idol.
White Wedding.
Easily. That's a squash. Fire Woman from The Cult and Goody Two Shoes from Adam Ant.
I don't know if I know either one of these. Fire Woman sounds more familiar, so I'm going to go with that one.
Goody Two Shoes is a terrible song, but I'm picking it just because it's the one I'm familiar with.
Yeah.
Thanks again to VH1 Pop Up Video, My Third Parent.
First. I'm just kidding.
All right. Let's Dance, David Bowie versus Forever Young by Rod Stewart.
Forever Young.
Yeah, I think so too. Dancing with Myself, Billy Idol, and Broken Wings from Mr. Mister.
Oh my gosh. Dancing with Myself.
Yeah, I didn't think I'd pick the song about diddling yourself, but yeah, it's going to do it. Dancing with Myself.
Sweet, isn't that Sweet, or Pretty in Pink, or never mind. I can't remember. Go ahead.
Right. If You Love Somebody, Let Them Free by Sting. Hurt So Good by John Cougar Mellencamp.
Hurt So Good. Hurt So Good. I love that song.
I agree. That's a low-key little banger. John Mellencamp's got some good ones that people just don't talk about.
He really does.
Eye of the Tiger versus Rock This Town.
Eye of the Tiger.
I agree. Like, that's another one I've heard a million times, but I'm going to be tapping my toe and putting the sunglasses on.
Hell yeah.
Punching the heavy bag, ready to go. Wild Thing by Tone Loc versus Number of the Beast by Iron Maiden.
Wild Thing.
Yeah, I'm not real big on that whole Iron Maiden.
Yeah. Deal.
It's the End of the World as We Know It from R.E.M. versus Crazy Little Thing Called Love from Queen.
R.E.M.
Ooh, this is like the hardest one I've probably seen in the tournament. I'm not sure. I'm going to go Crazy Little Thing Called Love, even though my instinct is to think that song may not have actually been the 80s. I think Queen, I think late 70s. I know I could be wrong on that, but...
Yeah.
Here I Go Again.
Okay.
By Whitesnake versus It Must Have Been Love by Rosette.
Oh, that's so hard. But I'm going to go with the Whitesnake. That video and all that song, I'm here for it.
Absolutely. All right, real quick, I'm going to clarify this Queen deal. This was just supposed to be a quick hit, so now I'm getting into the rabbit hole.
We're getting into, Nick Duke did call the lack of love on the 80s tournament music on the country.
This is really questionable here. It was released in October 5th of 1979.
Yeah, that's out.
But it was included on the 1980 album.
Oh, okay, then it's in.
June 30th, 1980 was when the album came out. So,
well, then I guess technically it's in.
It's unscrupulous fucking bracket work is what that is. That is... that chicanery and shenanigans are running amok.
Oh, gosh.
And the old cast boys must pay. Now, they did address the lack of country music in the podcast. They said that they kind of see it as like a genre of its own.
Okay, that's, you know what, and that's actually very fair, now that you're saying that. Okay.
All right, now we're going with One Night in Bangkok by Murray Head versus Like a Prayer, Madonna.
Madonna.
I agree. However, I'm going to Google that too, because I think of that song being 1990. I am going to...
You're like being rich right now, receipt checker. I'm just kidding.
It was released on March 3rd, 1989. I was wrong.
Ooh, you were wrong.
All right. Hearts Alone versus Survivor's Burning Heart.
Heart Alone.
Yeah, I don't know either one of those songs. I'm going with Burning
Heart. You know
Heart.
That Heart song. I bet you know it if you hear it.
Probably.
It's amazing.
I think Cars by Gary Numan versus Sledgehammer from Peter Gabriel.
Sledgehammer.
I agree. Even though that song reminds me of being in the hospital when I was a child, I will still go with Sledgehammer. That is the stacking cinder blocks because I'm an idiot at 5 years old, and falling down against the fence, and the pile of blocks fell on my foot.
Oh my gosh!
It crushed my toe, and there was a lot of blood and. My foot was mangled, and yeah, it was a whole thing.
Did you break your toe?
I broke my foot. Maybe it was a toe. I can't recall exactly what was broken. I was very young, but a foot or a toe. I just remember it required like stitches. I think there was a bone possibly poking through.
Oh my goodness.
But like, they didn't put me out to fix it. They literally like taped me to a table so that I wouldn't fight when they stitched it up.
This bad little mother effer.
Yes.
Wow. No, that's crazy.
Knowing what I know now about restraint laws, that was probably illegal, but you know, do what you got to do.
We didn't have seatbelts probably back then, so exactly. Whatever.
All right. So let's move on.
That was all of them?
That was it. All of them.
Okay.
All of them that we're going to talk about anyway. Like I said, there's six brackets
a
day.
Tons.
Every day.
Yeah.
So by all means, get out there, cast your vote, let your voice be heard.
Yes.
Now we're going to talk about the song from the 1992 album, New Miserable Experience. This is Hey Jealousy from the Gin Blossoms. Kelly, why did you bring this to us?
Why did I bring this to us? Well, this is going to sound weird because they're like, I grew up in Arizona for most of my life and they were from there, like the town next to where I grew up. And so I always thought they were like just this like local legend band. Like I didn't know, like as I got older, it was like, oh, people actually know who they are. You know what I mean? But I just thought they were kind of like a local music, you know, band. And so I always really liked them. I don't know. They were part of that. I don't know if you'd say they're grunge music. I don't really know what do you classify them as? Do you know? Like
that adult alternative style.
Yeah, alternative music. That's what you'd probably call it. But I don't know. I actually like a lot of their songs, but I figured this is probably the one most people know, probably their most famous song. And so I thought I'd go ahead and go with this one. But I don't know. Just always have been a fan of them or during that time period anyways. I was probably 12. Just like, what's going on? But you know them. You were aware of the song, right?
Yeah, I didn't.
Yeah.
I wasn't really hip to this until I was in my mid-20s.
Okay.
When I worked in Indiana, I would have to drive at a long commute home, and I would listen to the radio. And, this was one of the songs that would come on during those commutes. And I'm like, oh, shit, this is not bad. Like, I discovered a lot of 90s music during that time.
Yeah.
I must have stumbled upon some weird radio station that I just enjoyed.
Yeah. Well, that's actually why I really do enjoy, I hardly actually listen to the radio that much, but I like it when I do because it's not music that's in my phone already, you know, so it'll remind me of like, oh shit, I haven't heard this in a long time, or teach me new music. So we shall see. But anyways, so you like them? Do you like other songs or just you knew this one?
My friend Alex at Contrarian Alex hit me to Till I Hear It From You, which is another good song from them.
That's a good one. Mm-hmm. That's probably one of my favorite. But I went with this one. So, all right. You ready to get started?
I am
ready. Got anything to add? Okay. This is a short one. But we got, so it starts out. Tell me, do you think it'd be all right if I could just crash here tonight? You can see I'm in no shape for driving, and anyway, I've got no place to go. So, starts off, just tonight. So, obviously, he's at someone's house that he's, I guess, had a relationship with, or that's how I'm taking it. And kind of laying on the guilt at the end, like, I got nowhere else to go. So, what are you going to say to him? Like, no, you can't stay. I mean, I feel like he's at an old flame's house, you know, had too much to drink and he's trying to stay the night. But what you got?
This is a drunk dial. Much like Drake's Marvin's Room, which we covered very early on. If I could just crash here tonight, see, I'm in no shape for driving. Anyway, I got no place to go. Like, my response to that would be, well, and? I mean, keep in mind, this is 1992. He's probably not calling from a cell phone. He's calling from someone's house, or worst case scenario, a payphone. You know, tell him that hopefully he's got some more quarters in his pocket, he can make some more calls, because, buddy, you're not staying here.
So my vision is he's at like a 90s, like, you know, house party. He's there. He's like, I'm not leaving because you can see I've had too much to drink. But I see what you're saying. You're thinking he's like drunk dialing her.
Yeah, he is.
Oh.
Yeah, you're not going to your ex's house party.
That's true. Good point. So then you got any more? You good?
No, because the next lines kind of reinforce this idea.
Okay. And you know, it might not be that bad. You were the best I'd ever had. If I hadn't blown the whole thing years ago, I might not be alone.
All right. I've got to look something up real quick.
Is it wrong?
No, that's right.
Oh, okay.
Continue on with your lyric analysis here. I'm going to.
It's like a weird compliment, I guess, in a way. He's like, well, you were the best I ever had. But at the same time, when someone says that to you, but then they've done things to really harm you, it's like, wasn't good enough for you not to be a piece of shit to me or whatever. It's like, so, and I think what alarmed me about this part is he's saying years ago. So I'm like, oh shit, like how long has he been drunk dialing this woman, you know? But seems like he does acknowledge that he made mistakes. That's why they're not together.
All right. The songwriter on this was Doug Hopkins, who was an alcoholic. Hey, how about that?
How about that?
And in 1992, he would have been 31 years old, but he would have been just about a year and a half away from his death.
Yeah, I think he committed suicide. Did he? Did it say?
Let's have a look-see here.
I could be wrong, but I thought someone in their band.
Yes. All it says is he snuck out and bought a pistol, and on December 5th, he died.
Yeah.
He had gone to an intake consultation for a detox unit in Phoenix and then killed himself.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that story did not have a happy ending. My goodness.
Sorry. I know. I'm sorry. I don't know where you were trying to take that.
No. I was trying to think of, like, this is like a 25-year-old guy saying, I've been drunk dialing you for years. Like, yeah, I did not know that Doug Hopkins was an alcoholic, so that is really kind of, like, reinforced my theory here, but at the same time, kind of put a downer on this whole thing. I may have approached this from a different angle.
I didn't know he was either. I remember that someone in their band had died and that it wasn't the lead singer or whatever, but I do remember that happening, so that's why I was like, well. But he was a legit alcoholic. Like, he could relate to being in this situation.
Yeah, no half-stepping. This was written from the heart.
From the heart. Okay, you got anything else here?
No, that's just it. He's the drunk dialer. You know, talking about, you're the best thing I've ever had. It's been years later. I can't let this go. Just let me sleep there tonight. He's using the angle of, hey, you know, I don't really have anywhere to actually lay down. Let me stay on your couch. But he's trying to get his foot in the door here to hopefully rekindle that flame.
Yeah, yeah. So then we have, tomorrow we can drive around this town and let the cops chase us around. The past is gone, but something might be found to take its place. Hey, jealousy. And I have to be honest, because I really do, when I hear this song, I like this little verse, but I don't know what the hell they're talking about totally. It seems a little rambling to me. I mean, I don't know. I guess it's an odd thing, like Tempe, Arizona, where they're from. A lot of people kind of like cruise this main road. It's like by Arizona State University. And I mean, it is like a thing. Like we would, even when I was, you know, in high school or whatever, we would just go up and down that road. Like you could only drive it so many times and you get pulled over, but it was like a party, you know, like straight, and people would cruise it. So that's what I was thinking of when I read this, but I don't really know what's going on besides that. So
Kelly, have you ever had a conversation with a drunk person?
Of course.
What are they known for doing in these conversations?
Rambling.
They ramble. And that's what he's doing. Like, he's realizing, you know, she doesn't want to let him in, but she's still, you know, maybe a little tone of her voice indicates she may be open to this. So now he's going into sell mode. He's a salesman.
Yeah.
Look, tomorrow we're going to have fun, babe. We're going to drive around the town with the cops chasing us. Oh, man. You know, yeah, we fucked up before, but, you know, we can replace it with something new and something great. Hey, jealousy.
It's just like, we'll see if it works. Oh, gosh. Okay, so this whole little section here is interesting to me. So, you can trust me not to think and not to sleep around. If you don't expect too much from me, you might not be let down. If you don't expect too much from me, you might not be let down. That's kind of like a life motto you could probably tell anybody, but that's like a shitty way, like, oh, don't expect too much from me, then, you know. And she probably doesn't, honestly, at this point, but It's very weird. I wonder what he did to her, because it's like, you can trust me not to think, which is weird. I'm not going to use my head. I'm not going to think, but you can also trust me not to sleep around on you, which is kind of like a contradiction to me.
I think he's saying, I'm just going to be a sheep. Whatever you want to do, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to overthink it. And I'm not going to fuck anybody else like I did last time.
So I'm saying.
That's what I think he's doing here. This is still the sell. It's like, all right, like, I'm not the best guy ever, but I'm not going to argue with me. I'm not going to fuck your sister. Just expect the bare minimum, and, like, we're going to be okay.
Oh, shit. Oh, this is, okay, so then I got, because all I really want is to be with you, feeling like I matter too, and if I hadn't blown the whole thing years ago, I might be here with you. Which that's a repeat of his regret, I guess. I don't know. When, I guess I do kind of feel for people when he's like, feeling like I matter too. It's like, because she probably really does matter to him. He probably matters to her, but it's like, at some point you got to cut your losses with somebody, just like, you're done, you know? So what you got?
Yeah, that's just it. Like, this drunken rambling fool.
Yes.
Just trying so hard to sell himself. But at the end of the day, all he really has to offer is, I want you. Like, not I'm good and I'm something that is desirable, but I want to put everything I have into you. Like, please accept me. Like, it cannot be a one-way relationship.
Yeah.
This guy is a miserable, broken mess at this point, but he doesn't want to be alone. And that is no reason to be with someone just to save them from being alone.
Oh, hell no. No. That's really kind of the worst thing, but I think a lot of people do that, you know. It's like, well, it's better than having nobody. Somebody's better than nobody. It's like, that's not true. But, and then we got, you got anything else?
No, I do not.
And then this whole, like, next chorus is all a repeat, and then we just have a few more lines. He says, hey, jealousy, she took my heart, where there's only one thing I couldn't start. So, I don't know. Guess just saying he couldn't get her back in the end. I mean, she stuck to her guns. That's how I take that.
It's a guy that he likes his beer, so he can start shit. He could probably start a car. But he cannot kickstart her heart.
Cannot kickstart her heart.
So here he is, sleeping on the curb. Beer cans in the storm gutter right below him. But then the video doesn't indicate any of this.
No, actually, I wrote that down. The video is just kind of like, I don't know what's happening.
The video is every generic 90s we're playing in a room kind of thing you ever heard.
Yeah. No story, nothing. Yeah.
It's just, someone paid us, we have to do a video. Here it is. Let's go to Doug's house and do this video.
Yeah. We don't have a big budget. Well, and I'm sure, I don't know, but I mean, they probably weren't making a ton of money, or probably didn't make a ton of money in their time making music, you know? And so it is kind of one of those things. It's like, well, how much money do we want to put into a video? We got rent to pay and shit, you know? So,
well, 1992, this was A&M was the label that put this out. And this was not their first album. They had a 1991 album as well. Let's see if that was also a major label. It was. So I think by this point, you know, with Pearl Jam, I said that real country, Pearl Jam.
Kentucky came out.
Yes, it did. With Pearl Jam and Nirvana and Soundgarden, you know, all kind of being well on their way to being successes. I think the label would have put a little bit of money into these guys. You know, it's not quite grunge, but at the same time, it's not, it's not fucking Poison either. Like, you know, it's current alternative rock. Like, that was the wave back then.
Yeah. And I guess that's that alternative music or whatever. I mean, I was really into that. I'm still really into that. So if any of their songs come on the radio, I'm listening to it. Well, I don't think they're making music anymore.
Oh, let's have a gander. I think they are.
Are they?
Gin Blossoms. Let's see. 2000. Well, yeah. Active 87 and 97, and then 2001 to present.
Oh, hey.
Their last album was in 2018.
I'm going to have to get some looking on this and see. Awesome. Good old Apple Music. Life-changing.
Yeah, buddy, buddy. All right. So that is our songs for this week. Kelly, what song do you want to present next time?
Okay, we're going to do a Tom Petty song, You Don't Know How It Feels.
Very, very good choice. I am going LL Cool J and Boyz II Men with Hey Lover.
Hey, I'm a little surprised.
All right, before we close out, I do want to remind you guys that we will be bringing the Mobile Podcast Studio with us to lovely Chattanooga, Tennessee, first weekend of August for the Scenic City Invitational. If you will be in town and you want to be on the show, please get in touch with us at PTBN_songs. Reach out to the DM. Let us know what song you want to pick. And have that to us by July 26th to give us some time to kind of get familiar with some of the lyrics, take some notes. Like, we want to be on our game. We don't want to be a shit show just to accommodate you. So please, by all means, check us out. Reach out to us. We already have, it looks like, 3 people in the inbox who want to join us. So do not get cut off.
Yeah.
This is your chance to be a podcast star, baby.
Yes.
Kelly, anything you want to add before we go?
No, I'm good.
All right, guys. Again, follow us at PTBN_songs. Reach out to the email. I can't remember what the email is. PTBNSongsAreFriends@gmail.com. That is how often we use this email.
Someone email Steve.
Yes. For Kelly, this is Steve, and we will try to do better next time.